you to turn to several different readings. From the Gospel of John, chapter 14. From the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. It makes no difference what God does. He always does it for this one purpose, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's there where we see that God gives gifts severally as He wills. I know people that say they have all nine gifts, but I don't see them, I'll be honest with you. I believe they're honest. But God gives to one and to another He gave. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, talking about this distribution of the gifts, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. What I want you to see is that God has given gifts, and God is not an Indian giver, don't give gifts and take them. It's in the book of Acts, where I will read again, from the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. You will remember that this is the testimony of a lame man that has been healed. In Acts 13, verse 2, it says that when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why ye look so earnestly on this?" It was Peter and John. "As though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk." Peter and John met this man that was lame. He was miraculously healed. And the people looked on Peter and John as if they had worked for him. Lastly, in the book of Psalms, chapter 115, the book of Psalms, chapter 115, and verse 2. "Not under us, O Lord, not under us, but unto thy name give glory, to thy mercy and thy truth." Would you lift your hands and ask God to help me to preach? Father, I need the anointing of your Spirit. I need your help. I need your thoughts. I need you to help me to touch the minds, the heart, and the lives of every person that is here today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You don't have to be an exegete to know that if you just took the scripture that we read, you would be able to get an outline of what I'm going to preach to you this morning. I see that this impotent man had been healed at the gate beautiful. People began to look on Peter. Now, Peter did tell them, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of the Lord." And instantly, his ankles were shoestring. And people that don't believe in running and shouting in church need to read the rest of that testimony of that man. He went leaping and running and praising God into the temple. There is something about this human nature. We know when we have needs, no matter what description that need is. We know how we feel. We know how it affects our lives, jobs, and whatever else. Someone will pray with us, and the scripture says, "Pray you one for another that you may be healed." And we will look at that individual as if they are the ones that wrought the meeting of our need. God said, "I will not share my glory with another." Whatever God does, God gets the glory. We we've seen miracles in this church. I don't want to go through it again, but you know that me, I am a living miracle. Every time I see a doctor or a nurse, they look at me, nurses break down and begin to cry. I have doctors, when they walk by me, they just do this, shake their head, just keep going. You're the ones that pray for me. You're the ones that talk God to my health and my recovery. And God answered that prayer, but you didn't do it. I pray for people that God has touched them, met their many needs, but I didn't do it. All things are done that the Father may be glorified in the Son. But if you would read all of this in the book of Peter, you would find that he mentions two things. He mentions power and he mentions holiness. It's going to be important for you to remember that as I go forward. As if by our own power or our holiness, this man is made well and this man is made whole. You know, when God does things, he does it in a way that no one would even try to take from it. You remember when the man was by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years? He carried, or he lay on that cot. He lay on that cot until the waters were troubled. An angel troubled the waters. And the person in the waters received their healing. When Jesus came along, some of the men have already been healed. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. A man for 38 years laying on that bed, got up off of that bed and began to walk. But he ran into religion. He ran into the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they said, it's not lawful for you to carry this cup on the Sabbath. I believe what he said was, look, if you have trouble with me walking, I didn't do it, man didn't do it, but there's a guy down there by the name of Jesus. He did it. But if you've got a problem with me carrying this thing that has carried me for 38 years, you can't talk to him. I've seen God do things that people take every kind of an exception to, and they want to debate and argue. I believe it's every Christian responsibility to reason with people. But I don't believe in arguing. I don't believe in debating. You're not going to change them. Jesus said, I couldn't do many great things among you because of your unbelief. He worked miracles, and people said, he did it by Beelzebub. Beelzebub is the prince of death. He said, if I by the devil cast out devils, you can't do that way. To God be the glory for all the great and the wonderful things that he has done. I believe that Peter, I want to see the scripture, that Peter immediately began to talk to that devil, the people, wanting him to know this one thing. I'm a man that used to curse you. I'm a man that used to deny you. I'm a man that the only way I'm here is because he forgave me for my cursing. He forgave me for my lying. I surrendered everything to him. Whatever. I'm a vessel. Whatever he wants to do through me, he can do it through me. And you're not going to give me any of the credit. All of the credit goes to God. If you watch these television preachers, the ones that share good testimony, you would think that they were God. You would think that it was God, some great ability. But Peter said, not by our power, nor by our holiness, does this man stand here. No one can serve him. I'm preaching to you, and we're going to pray for you here today, that God's going to meet your needs. We're going to lay hands on you. Lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. I want to go back to this power and holiness. I know preachers that make their boast and they live like devils. They live like devils. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Be careful who you read their book. Be careful who you watch on television. Be careful who shapes you by. If you know someone that's a godly man, you get it. It'll help you. I know preachers. I've never told this publicly. But when they're giving testimony, they will stand up. They're just preaching away. And they'll say, I tell you what, about 1 o'clock today, I was there on the corner of Main and Prime to make it up. And I got this thought, I got this idea, I had this idea. That congregation, he's giving all of these testimonies. They're getting, this crowd is going crazy. But what they don't know is he's telling that whore. I'll pick you up at the corner of whatever I said, Diamond Main or whatever. I'll pick you up about 1 o'clock in the morning. You say, that doesn't happen. You need to know that it happens. You need to know the tricks of the devil. No wonder God said, know those that labor among you. Know them. I've been in this too long, my friends. I know a man through such conflicts that they had to go to major auditoriums. I'm telling you, the stories, the testimonies, and the people giving me money, I know them. But when he left the auditorium, which was attached to a shopping center, he left his Bible. He did not leave his Bible. So, he leaves. Everybody's getting their stuff and they're leaving. And the host of that revival saw that he left his Bible. So, he'll need this. So, I will see him one night. So, I just take it to him. When he took it to him, with another man's wife in the hotel room. It is important that you and I live for God, walk with God, serve God. God will meet our every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But to God be the glory. I've never told you those kind of stories before. I've got a memory from here across the street. You don't need to hear. I don't need to tell you what you believe. The reason that Peter brought up power is for a man that has been lame for 38 years to not be able to walk. They knew that it took a power beyond the ability of man. It wasn't out of the workings of a man. Yes, there is a power that is required to work this miracle. But don't look on us. And he said, neither was it our holiness. If you don't get anything else out of what I say, let me tell you what. God is good. He supplies me. John said in 1 John 2:1, I would that you would not sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate for the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours, but for the whole world. The woman that was taken to the desert, those people that wanted to stone her to death, Jesus wrote in the stone, and he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We serve a loving, faithful God, all powerful God. But God is not going to work a miracle to prove that he's God. When Elijah met him on the top of the mountain, they said, well, tell you what, you call him your God and we'll call him our God. Well, they did everything from calling on that dead God to cut himself. God, when he does the work, he does more than what any other power could do with Elijah. Not only was the sacrifice given, or burnt, but the altar was burnt. And the water that had been put around the altar was gone. God does exceedingly and abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. When the Bible says, take you to its benefits. That means thinking because for you, you did not even know it did it. We're not supposed to often take down God's doorstep. We're children of God. If we're children, then we're heirs. What are you an heir of? You're an heir of everything that God is and everything that God does. There's a lot of people that are sick. Some of them, well, these folks over here are sick for 2 months, 8 weeks. My granddaughter is at home with my only child. If I had the power to heal you, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I'd be like that granddaughter's house, raising her up, right? They called the other day. She was burning up with fever. I said, let me talk to her. I told Stan, let me talk to her. I talked to her. Just a short prayer. Not a long prayer. Just a short prayer. Break the fever. In whatever it was, 5 or 10 minutes, that fever was broken and gone. I didn't do it. But if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Jesus said, I just couldn't do what I wanted to do because you wouldn't believe me. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. The miracle belongs to Jesus. He's the one that we must believe. We say it again. Peter and John may have more power, may have been the holiest people on this earth. Do you know why God worked through them? Because he only worked through a clean vessel. That goes back to those fasting preachers. He only works through a clean vessel. I quoted 1 John 2 to tell you that we're not perfect, but we do have an advocate. We do have one that we'll go to that cleanses us. God is able to do exceedingly, and but when he does, we have to be clean, we have to be washed in the blood, we have to be pure, we cannot be living in known sin. We have to present ourselves, present yourself holy and acceptable unto God, which is what your reason is. When I present myself before God, and I'm holy, you know what the Bible says about holiness? Your holiness is a filthy rag. If you don't know what a filthy rag is, you ask me when I'm filthy, because that's what that secret is. That's what my righteousness, my holiness, looks like in the sight of God. But when God saves us, he makes us a new creation. He makes us a new creature. Adam was a sinner. Jesus said, walk with him in the cool of the day. Ever since he made it. God went one day to walk with him. Adam. Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Adam that was walking around in the glory of God is walking around with fruit leaves. Sin come into that family. Sin come in. The book of Romans, by one man's disobedience, all were made sin. Jesus comes. He said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. He gave his life a ransom. You know the story. You know the testimony, the life of Christ. When he comes through your life, he didn't come to just make you a better person. He didn't come to keep you from cursing all the time. You just curse some of the time. He makes you a new creature. All the things. Old things, that old nature, that old man has been made new. You've got a new set of faculties. You think different. You talk different. You act different. You go different. Because you are now not that old creation, you are now a new creation. The thing that I love about Brother John. That guy, I told you, look at the Lord, that was the most hyper human you ever met in your life. He couldn't sit still. He couldn't get enough work. I hear the henchmen. He fell. His head hit one of those valves. nothing from here downward. If you want a man of faith in yourself, go talk to him. He knows he's going to get out of that trouble. He knows he's going to be well. That's not idle thought. That's not make believe. One time in life, somebody said, "You know, you quit giving him a false hope." I want to ask you, is Jesus false? Is God a liar? Well, I say, what if he doesn't get out of this church? Then, number one, I believe he is. Number two, if he doesn't, he will when he gets to the meeting. Somebody said, that's an out. No, that's not an out. That's a trust. That's a trust in God. Have no doubt about Peter and John being full of power. You know, somehow, we put it in our imagination that here we are, and somehow we need power. So, God's over here, God's going to come, and he's going to give us a little bit of power. No, no. God says, all power is given in heaven and earth, is given to me. Did not the Apostle Paul say that we are in Christ and Christ is in us? He's not going to get a single full of power and comes up again. It's there when he wants to exercise it, when he wants to use it, it's there. It's in a holy life. It's in a believer. Somewhere down the line, God does these things for his glory. But you've got to do it. We sing the song, have faith in God. I thank in God for your beauty. I thank in God for your picture. I thank in God for whatever it is. Isn't it something that we know that it's by grace through faith that we're born again? And we say that we're saved, knowing that scripture says, it's my faith. But you take faith from anything else other than that salvation. And we don't believe it. We don't accept it. We say, that was for them. Well, I tell you what, I didn't live with them, I live not now. And as much as they needed God, I need God. When he told me, cursed is the man that leans on their own flesh. You'll get it after a while. He did not save me to trust anything other than him for my every need. My every need. My every need. Let me tell you something about what I believe in Peter and John. I believe that they became zealous. I believe they became zealous servants for the glory of God. We know all about missionary journeys with Paul. We know from what the Word of God tells us, you know, just walk down the street and stand with the stick and they get healed. Miracles. But on top, Elijah being the man subject to life passions as me and you, those that had those miracles had to fight the same devil, the same God, the same fear, the same unbelief that you have to face. There's no difference. Jesus was a man. Hebrews tells us the man Christ Jesus. He didn't suffer on the cross as God. He suffered on the cross as a man felt everything. Knew everything going on. Elijah, man, subject to our passions and us. We need. Somebody says, well, tell me, and I'm just going for a good thing. Somebody says, tell me how to get saved. I will. Okay, are you ready? How many of you ready to know how to get saved? Who can quote the scripture for you? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I just answered that question. Did I do okay to you? Thank you. I just answered your question. We read the Bible. Do you know? It's kind of humorous to me, mainly with the politicians. They go to church once every 4 years, and that's when they have an inauguration. If you want to get a Bible, take it under their arm and go to church. To me, it's humorous. We go day after day, some maybe week after week, month after month, year after year, you don't read the Word of God, and you wonder why somebody else tells you that you can believe God, but there's no confidence in you. I'm confident that God not being a liar. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Neither am I the son of a man that I should repent. But what they're going to say, I'm going to do it. Every time I read something in this book, it is said to be with the confidence. There is a confidence. Not a confidence because I can see him, or I can touch him, or I can feel him, but a confidence that comes by reading the Word of God, and the faith is established. The faith is increased. One of the poor favorite authors is Smith Wigglesworth. It's in the history books in England. The Smith Wigglesworth raised seven people from the dead. And he said, I don't believe that was the difference in media. He could not read. He could not write. I believe he was a prophet. When God saved him, he said, God, if you let me learn to read, I will never read another line of another book, an article or whatever, the moment it's where I live, but I'll stay in your word. His wife was able to teach him to read. Son-in-law, one of the testimonies, he was called to a house of a man that had died. They showed him into the bedroom where the man was laying on the bed. No, no, not everybody believes this, but still love it. And Smith Wigglesworth was with him. And then, now I'll be here in crying. The man's dead. He goes to pray. And his wife said, Daddy, not this one. Not this one. He said, don't believe, get out of the room. But believe, get out of the room. Now, before I finish that story, I want to ask you, do you believe in rapture? Are you going to rapture yourself? They're buried at sea. They've been burned to death. They are in every kind of a place of burial. But he knows those that are his. And they're going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're going to hear his voice and they're going to come up. They can't raise themselves and you can't raise yourself. If you believe that he is going to raise your great, great, great grandmother, who's been dead for 142 years, why don't you think he can raise a man that's been dead for several hours? The power is the same. The ability is the same. He prayed and walked out of the bedroom being accompanied by the man that had been dead. I've heard stories I don't believe, but anything that has to do with a man of God, a man that has the faith, the holiness, but Peter, all is wrong. I believe God can do anything. We need to learn some lessons. No questions at all. We can do nothing. But there's nothing we can do. That's it. It's so cool. They're going to sleep on it. There is nothing. No, nothing. My God can't do. Stand this thing. Come on. I want you to move around a little bit. Stand this thing. There is nothing. Thank you. seated. Thank you. I've preached to you in the past. The greatest testimony in this church. Some were drunks, drug addicts, alcoholics, thieves, murderers. There is nothing that has not been represented in this church. The man that used to sit right there about halfway back, maybe on the same pew or one pew behind where it's just the best it is, for the kingdom of their preacher. He walked out that door. God had dealt with him. He had been convicted, but he wouldn't surrender to God. Married to a lady in the church. Walked out that door when I got under that crop of my thing. When he went off those double glass doors, he looked at his wife and he said, I am the instrument of destruction in the hands of a living God. I called you for CBS, ABC, NBC, all the rest of the reporters. If that was a man that had become a serial killer, he was pursued after that. The greatest miracle of God is to forgive you, save you, make you a new creation. But if he can take a broken life, I told you about when I was preaching down in Refugee, Texas. Man come through, the pastor and I were talking. Man come through one day and he said, Pastor, I just can't let this happen. You know, I'm going away from you. And that pastor gave him a strange answer. He said, well, you're an evangelist. We're going to go to the post office to get the mail. Before you do it, you take time to go to the office and thank God for all the things you did for you. Well, after we got the mail, it's finally made the time to pay. So we go back and pay. Then he decides to take time to go eat, so we go eat. When we get back, that man's still in that altar. He's still thanking God. He's still praising God. Still giving God the glory for the great and mighty things. Every one of us need to know this one thing. Not one good thing ever happened in your life. Did you do it just because God loves you? Just because God sees you for this. I'm going to close with just a brief moment. God does. He's not a servant. He doesn't do things to show off. But when he sees a thing, whatever it is, somebody says, when are you going to get the use, before you see your legs? Just watch. Don't miss the Sunday night or Wednesday night or Tuesday or Thursday morning. Maybe then. I've got the same stuff that I've been trying to do. But there's one thing. God does what he does. All things are done that the Father may be done, may be glorified in us. When Brother Clinton was speaking about 60,000 in South Africa, Congo, one man was in a tiger, busy, had a look about him yesterday, come up on the slab, talking about him, had a look about him, and he was too late. There's a lot about the toilet. And it's exploded in the trees. That's a ministry. When you're holy, God doesn't leave you, he doesn't forsake you. Enter that man's mind. I'm going to hurt that man. But God said, it's ours and the fall at your side. 10,000 will fall at your right hand. The scripture says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. We need to be reminded of this today. Whether forces you or whether not forces you. Sister Grace, when I'm with a husband, it is just a great ministry. Sister, force every night and every night, and you know, she's mine. But she would say, Brother Robert, we as a church, we need to see miracles. Not speaking of ourselves, that's just what I mean. But we have needs. And the unbeliever will come around and say, weren't you supposed to be a Christian? Where's your God now? Where's your God now? What evidence that doesn't know different troubles. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, there in that 20th chapter, deals with people that were killed by the sword and thrown into the flame and their children taken. But the scripture says the world was not worthy of it. But when they God in His plan and in His way, Jesus, to work on me, is an evidence that what I couldn't do for you, and what you can't do for me, there is no limitation and no inability in you. If I don't have to wait for you to lay your hand on my head, you may be on a journey, you may go somewhere, you may be home, I may go somewhere. I may have to call you at any hour of the night. And maybe you couldn't get there in time. Maybe you couldn't get there in time. But this miracle worker never leaves. He said, I'm not a God that I can't hear. I'm not a God that I don't know. Not only do the musicians come, not only do I not do it, not only do I want us to pray this morning for people that have needs, I want us to pray that God would make a hedge of light to keep us. This world has gone insane. They have gone insane. I saw more than 140 protesters from Washington, D.C. at the day of inauguration, facing up to 4 years in jail because they're not going to go to school. Huh? That's wonderful. When you get to Brooklyn, when you get to these other places, I think I don't have to protest. It's my touch level that Balkan glass is too broke. Figure it out. But everything that you see on the news is lesbian, gay, LGBT. You and I love the gay, we love the lesbian, we love the transgender, we love the LGBT, but they need God. And we want to help them find Christ. That's our own interest in it. And I want to talk to our young people about the musicians' personal perspective. Don't you listen to me? You are bombarded with that television. You're bombarded with that social media. You're bombarded with that magazines, television, any number of ways that you can name it. It's not a wide open. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sinner. Our accountability is to lead them to Christ. And I want to tell you, don't you date one? Don't you become the best friends with one? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You may never have the boyfriend or the girlfriend that you want, but God will supply your every need. It's been the right one along. This pretty lady over here, she was this year we would have been married 15 years. I'm almost 6 years older than her. The first time I had my eyes on her, she was 12. I said in my heart, I'm going to marry her. See what? I thought I was in love maybe several times. But my life, my ministry, and everything about my life in God would have been destroyed and wound up like that. God knew what I needed. I just passively worship God and you know that. But we have needs. If you have a need, we're going to pray for you. but if you don't have faith, you need to be like the man of the word of God. Say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help thy mind unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. This was a day to call upon the one that said, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. So I said, what's going to happen here this morning? Exactly whatever he wants to do. And we will rejoice in that. You see, when we don't get an answer, we'll pray again. And we'll pray again. We'll pray again. We'll pray again. Not only will we say words, we will be.